Don't you know we've come this far?
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Thorn. My name is Sonequa Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Thorn. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Thorn helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White the Third, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the History of Christianity podcast number 154, or episode 154, titled John Chrysostom, part 7. Return to the wilderness. When I became a Christian, when I became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, December the 19th, 1979, I somehow had the false idea that Christianity began when I became a Christian, even though I had been raised in the church. I had no concept of the hundreds of years, yea, thousands of years, of history that Christianity had gone through since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. No concept whatsoever. Some 2,000 years ago. I have found that many believers, because of the dramatic power of salvation in the lives of people, young and old, have the same or similar false and crazy idea. Once we are truly born again and saved, there's a hunger for God's Word, not necessarily a hunger for the history of the church. The purpose of this podcast is to dispel this notion by sharing with listeners the history of Christianity from the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ all the way up until the present day in an easy to understand format and way. You do not have to worry. This is not a boring lecture. This is simply a look at the basic facts and figures of Christian history that every believer, and I believe every person, needs to be aware. Ladies and gentlemen, our scripture passage for today is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, which reads, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Our history of Christianity quote today is from John Chrysostom. He said, "Nothing you see equals prayer. It makes the impossible possible, the difficult easy, and the crooked way straight." Today in the history of Christianity, we are looking at John Chrysostom, Return to the Wilderness, from Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez's fine book, The Story of Christianity, Volume 1. Although the bishop had returned, the causes of the conflict were not resolved. after a few months of additional intrigue, confrontation, and humiliation, Chrysostom received a new order of exile. Chrysostom received a new order of exile. Once again, he refused to heed the advice of his friends and quietly surrendered to the soldiers who came after him. Rather than stirring up a riot that would cause the people further suffering. But the riot was inevitable. Mobs flocked to Hagia Sophia and the surrounding area. The army was ordered to quell the disturbance. And in the ensuing struggle, the cathedral and several public buildings nearby caught fire and were destroyed. The cause of the fire was never discovered, but during the inquest, many of Chrysostom's supporters were tortured, and his best-known friends were banished, although to areas distant from him. Meanwhile, the preacher with the golden mouth was led to exile in the remote village of Cucusus. Since he lacked a pulpit there, he took up the pen and the world was moved. Innocent, the Bishop of Rome, took up Chrysostom's cause, and many followed his example. The emperor's actions were criticized from every quarter. Theophilus of Alexandria had no support but that of a few timid souls who dared not oppose imperial power. As the controversy became widespread, the little town of Cucusus seemed to become the center of the world. Empress Eudoxia had died, and some hoped that Emperor Caelius would reverse his policy, but he did not, and a number of bishops supported the imperial policy by agreeing to the banishment of the famous preacher. But in the West, Pope Innocent and many others were convinced that a great injustice was being committed and appealed to Arcadius's Western counterpart, Honorius. The latter sent a Latin delegation to the East, armed with a letter to Arcadius, indicating that they should be granted full respect and that a synod should be convened in Salonica to discuss the charges brought against John. If the Latin delegation was then convinced that the cause against John was just, Honorius would break communion with him. But if, on the contrary, the deposition of John was found to be unjust, Arcadius should restore communion with him and by implication return him to his see in Constantinople. This threatened not only Arcadius's policies, but also that of the important bishops who had come to power by supporting them, including the patriarchs of Alexandria and of Antioch. Therefore, the Latin delegation received what, in its report to Innocent, it called a Babylonian treatment. It is not clear whether on orders from the court in Constantinople or from John's ecclesiastical rivals, who needed the embassy to fail. The members of the delegation were imprisoned, tortured, offered a bribe of 3,000 gold pieces, which they refused, and sent home in a leaky boat that soon began to sink. In their report to Innocent, they said that the soldiers told them that the captain of the ship had been given orders to see that they did not make it home. But eventually, after changing ships, they did return to Italy. Meanwhile, a number of John's most influential supporters simply disappeared, being secretly exiled to various remote areas and fortresses. Next time, ladies and gentlemen, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at John Chrysostom return to the wilderness. Let's pray. Holy Father God, help us to learn from the past. Help us to avoid the evil that was done. Help us to do that which is good. And help us to do the good things that our brothers and sisters in the past did. Help us to stand for truth. Help us to be the witnesses you want us to be. And help us to pray without ceasing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know Him today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simply believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed His blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can be a part of the church in this life, and in the life to come, live in heaven forever with God. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and He will do so. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly His story. God bless you. Don't you know it's true?